I keep falling down the stairs and they never end in the middle of the week.
So hello and welcome to the Talk Tonight podcast. Today we are joined with the Baltics. Lads, it's good to have you on.
Hello.
It's good to be here.
Just thought I'd kick things off with talking about your debut single, Carbon Theme Park. Like many people, I sort of discovered you during lockdown. Did you like think for a second that would blow as much as it has over the last few months?
Definitely not. It was obviously with lockdown, you're sort of thinking, oh, well, is it going to be pushed enough because everyone's, you know, not getting out and about? But thanks to the internet, we've had such an opportunity to spread it round. And Since everyone's been in, it's like, and now everyone's back to school, you'd think if we released it now, everyone would be distracted with school and stuff. But they've had the time to go out and look for it and, you know, have a look for it. And we're definitely, because it's got 45,000 plus streams now on Spotify.
And what was it on, like, what streams was it on, like, probably a few months ago? Was it, like, around the 5,000 mark, around about 10,000?
It blew up, like,
in May.
It was May where it started getting, it was picking up its speed. But it's just started, obviously it's slowing down now, but that makes sense because it's been out longer. But still, we're astounded. It's a debut single as well. Like, we couldn't have expected that at all.
I mean, I mentioned it in my blog post earlier this week about Carbon Theme Park. And obviously what I've been wondering when I listen to the song, and this is a question I've been dying to ask you, is it a metaphor from, like, about the Northeast and about, like, the region that we're from, or is it?
It is. It's
definitely.
It can definitely have this sort of tinge, like, on everything. Like, I think it was, I'm thinking, like, it's the person you're speaking about, the narrator speaking about, you know, any sort of politician that could, you know, relate to climate change isn't doing enough. But the fact that I mentioned, like, because I use a lyric, like, the Tyne's filled up with your fragrant disgrace. Like, I mentioned the river there, the Tyne. So it's like, it definitely hits to home. So it's like bringing that sense of locality into it as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Obviously I'm from nearby Middlesbrough, user from, like, Chesterley Street, Newcastle. And, obviously, I look at the word carbon, and it's sort of what you see on our skyline, really, isn't it?
The North East is known as being quite dark and smoggy with the...
Well, I mean, from the dark and smog comes creative sounds, doesn't it, really? Because they've got you've got spilt milk and obviously, well...
Oh, yeah.
It's not the sad to say, though. If it's like you go towards the North Sea and you've just got all the shipyards and the factories and all these trade stuff.
Yeah.
Just upsetting, really.
Well, obviously, Carbon Theme Park has sort of made your footprint on the indie music scene, obviously, with that single. It's blown up. Obviously, rightfully it's blown up because obviously you got some guitars, you got some really good drums in that song, and obviously the lyrics. I think the lyrics obviously sort of it sort of meets that sort of indie criteria of sort of talking about your deprived area, and obviously it causes that sort of sense of romance with it. Obviously, I don't know. Obviously, it's not really a romantic place, is it, the North East?
No, it's got a catchy chorus though.
Right,
I get stuck in my own head and I'm really sick of the song after.
That's a great part of it, I think. Like, your friends, well, my friends in particular, they're all like, oh, where's your mates in the Carbon Theme Park? It's all like, it is catchy, and that's what's good about it.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because at the start when people are like sort of singing it, you think, oh, they're doing it ironically, or they're taking the piss, but no. Like, people actually genuinely enjoy it, and that's the biggest shock for me personally.
It's a great debut.
I think it sort of has sort of gave people an idea who are the Baltics, and obviously, you know, you've sort of built that cult following around the Northeast, I imagine, with, like, you know, regular fans, etc., who probably go to every gig that you go to. So, I mean, that's sort of summit, really.
Exactly, it's great.
And obviously, like, what I want, like, obviously, come from the Northeast, like, we lag behind places like Manchester and Sheffield, obviously, when people think of Newcastle, they only think of Sting. They don't really think of the American
Sting,
bands.
Sting, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
But obviously, go on.
I was just going to say, Manchester, you know, you're right about Manchester. Like, obviously, that is undoubtedly the biggest area for music in this country. Yeah. And then, band, you might have a bit more of a chance if you're from Manchester, because people might look at it like, oh, it's a Manchester band, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but if you say, oh, it's a Newcastle band, people aren't going to be like, jumping on the bandwagon so much because, you know, it's not as attractive because of its past. Like you see, it's really, really Sting. And now we've got Sam Fender coming up, but that is just an example of one lucky artist.
Yeah, I think, obviously, I've got mates who from Middlesbrough, and obviously, we love Sam Fender because I think it's more the fact that he's from our region, not our area specifically, but I think it's that sort of extra that he's from our region that we're sort of like, oh, yeah, he's a northeastern lad. Let's go and back him. You know, let him take on the music, let him take on the bands from Manchester, from London, let him have like this like sort of one-on-one like fist fight representing the Northeast, and now you've got Hughes and Spilt Milk sort of coming in behind, and it's sort of like having this, like we started off with just Sam Fender, it's sort of like growing and growing, and I think obviously that in probably next year, obviously the Northeast will be, you know, your music will be distributed throughout the country, that's what I think.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
I think with like Sam Fender again, people who even like, I know me and Adam don't necessarily like enjoy his music as much as some people, but we still love him as a person because of his background and like, so most people from the Northeast can get behind him even if you're not into his music, which I also find quite cool.
It's weird because I feel like, you know, I always talk about how artwork can influence your perspective of music. I think where he comes from really does influence it. Like for some reason, when I'm listening to his music, I just sort of enjoy it that bit more because I think, oh, he's from the Northeast. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely. Yeah.
It's a weird feeling, but it's there. It's cool.
Well, it's like when you're singing about these certain things, it's just like, you know, it's about your local area and your own circumstances. Yeah. So you've got a little pride in it.
Well, I mean, you've had some coverage in the local music press, any volume. Obviously, it's a big thing in the Northeast. Obviously, if you're not from the Northeast, and I'm talking to our listeners here, it is, if you're a small band and you end up getting a review in any volume, you sort of feel like you are sort of making it because that is, you know, the sort of backbone of the Northeast culture. How did it feel anyway when you like sort of saw that review? Because I know that I saw your story, it was like 4 out of 5.
Very professional. It just made you think like we've hit this next level. You know what I mean? Like if you see your song being reviewed, it's you sort of think it's more professional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even just having the song reviewed as like an honor, never mind actually getting 4 out of 5 stars on a bloody professional.
Never mind the 4 out of 5 stars. You used our name on the contents page for that entire thing. That was a big bit of pride for me.
That was obviously when you see the Baltics and just, like, I saw the PDF and I was like, oh, go on, they're doing it. So another subject, but it's probably the most inevitable subject that I want to talk about is lockdown. Obviously, like we talked about earlier on, it's how has it been for you as a band? Because obviously, I know that you was at rehearsal earlier on, and like obviously I think you're working on a new release. So how has it been a band in lockdown?
Difficult.
It's come with pros and cons. Obviously, we couldn't see each other for like 12 weeks and it was really difficult to like keep that tightness and keep up to date with like moving forward, but I had so much like personal time to develop my guitar playing, and like I felt like I've really improved over, I've just gotten so much better because I had hours and hours every single day to just put the work in, and I felt like that's made me even better, even though I had so much time to like, I could have slipped or I could have gotten better, and I made sure I got better. So I don't know how to really word it, but
yeah, because obviously loads of people in lockdown like have sort of had that urge to be creative, more better than they were like pre-lockdown. Like obviously with the gig set, with like you was doing gigs and all that, like do you have any gigs in mind, any ideal gigs or any ideal tours you want to do when we do come out of lockdown and everyone's allowed to put gigs back on, etc.?
I will take anything and everything, really. Just want to get back out there.
It's literally just taking every single gig you can get.
Because obviously the Lathams, they were advertising, and obviously, you know, I tag you in that. What would it be like if you were supporting a band like the Lathams? Like, obviously, I know that, like, I can imagine you're going to play Newcastle, but obviously, if you could play like with the Lathams, obviously, I can imagine that being like another step in the direction for you.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's like, because they're building and they're like one of these bands. Are they from up here? Because I haven't really
from Wigan in Greater Manchester.
Oh, well, yeah, like north of England, you know what I mean? Yeah. So for them to be building and getting a bigger audience, and if they were to come up here and we were to like theoretically play with them, it would just build us even more because you're getting exposure lots of people, because I'm presuming they would be playing a pretty big venue, such as the O2.
I think they are playing the O2, actually.
Yeah. And that must have been it. And what it was, to see all them, because like you say, that post where we got tagged on, just to see all these people tagging me, it felt great.
I did some maths on that post. Apparently, 20% of the comments were us.
Oh,
20% was mad, insane.
Just to see them people, just all, having faith and almost to do it. And you'd know, like, if you had that many people rooting for you and putting that in the comments, you'd think, oh, yeah, we've got to deliver. Like, if you're supporting a band like them, you've got to take that opportunity to really show off what you can do.
Well, it's
you've
just Northern Exposure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's Northern Exposure. Someone's barking mad.
Sorry, my dogs.
That's all right. That's what they should have put down as your review, isn't it? It has you barking mad.
Yeah. as well, added to that Latham's thing, I've seen so many of my favourite bands play in that arena. Well, not arena, like venue. So me playing that stage would just be like,
I've seen Matt DeMarco play there, and that was a gig and a half. Like, it was good, but just this guy, I don't know if he's familiar with Matt DeMarco.
I
love him. He's great.
If you listen to him, you sort of like know his character, and his character live is sort of what his songs sound like. Really,
there's not really anyone else like him, is there?
No, I think he came out with a bottle of wine, and everyone was smoking the venue. It was like a fucking I've got to edit that out. profanity. It was like those old social clubs that your granddad used to go to or something. It was like that in the village.
When I look at Matt DeMarco, I kind of think he looks really like, he's down to earth. He's like got this sort of like country feel. Even though he doesn't make country music, he's like an everyday person, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, he loves his cigarettes, because he's got a gap between his teeth. And when I've seen that, he would put it in between, so... what else have I got on my agenda for today? Jesus Christ, I sound like one of those bloody politicians. what I want to talk about as well is Dan McKenna. He's got his new album out, Zeros. Yeah. I saw that was in your story the other day.
What do you think of it? I haven't listened to loads of it, but Guy, go on. You know quite a bit.
I just really like how he's gone from being that generic sound that, like, obviously it was quite pioneering back then, but that sound's become quite generic, like, in the indie scene, but he's gone quite experimental, which I really like. Like, if you listen to the start of Rapture, it's just a new take on it. It feels fresh, and I really enjoy it. The original sound's been done so many times before, but he's done it in his new, original way. And you can still tell it's him. He's still got his, like, fundamental roots. You know it's Declan McKenna when you listen
matured.
To it.
He's matured from,
matured.
Bouncy.
And, like, more experimental, more original. Yeah. So it's just him finding himself even more. So I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. What's really good about that album, I would say, is when I think of Declan McKenna, you think of him as a very, like, he speaks about a lot of important issues, like political issues. Like, Brazil is just about, like, business and how FIFA are, just corrupt, like, separate.
It's about globalisation, isn't it? No, but it's all about how it impacts people's lives.
Yeah, and all of his, like, earlier songs are, like, a lot about how, like, young people are growing up in a world like this. Yeah. And I think what I really found interesting about this new album, Zeros, is before he released it, The Key to Life on Earth, that single he had out.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good song. And that discusses the topics that you think of Declan McKenna as. Yeah. And, you think it's classic Declan McKenna. But once you get into the album, I've read reviews on it. He talks about himself a lot more, and he's a lot more, like, personal about it. So,
well, when I was listening to Key to Life on Earth, when Zeros came out the other day, what I took from the entire album, what I took from that track specifically, it is a very Bowie-inspired album.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
It's a really loud noise, but yeah, definitely Bowie-inspired.
Yeah, like, obviously, Keep the Life on Earth, it sort of, like, sounds like Ashes to Ashes.
Even his... like the way he dresses and stuff, it's quite Bowie with the makeup and stuff. It's
and obviously, and like,
mullet.
No, I'm big fan of mullet. Bowie. Yeah. But like obviously, like you said, about most of his songs are politically influenced. Obviously, talks about important issues. I think, like obviously, I'm a politics student at A level, so it may when I look at that, it makes me think that he makes politics attractive.
Yeah,
especially with something like British Bombs, like it sort of made like
that one
attractive, and obviously, you know, that's sort of a big that's
makes
big...
people want to get involved and
spread
it themselves.
Obviously, you know, being from the area that we're from, obviously our sort of the region hasn't fared any better under Boris Johnson. So
Exactly.
No,
it's not doing too well.
Oh no, obviously because we come from a very rich sort of industrial area, well, which used to be, and obviously, I think being from the northeast, I think you'll agree with me though, is that the first person you like sort of learn to hate, like when you straight out the womb in the northeast, is Maggie Thatcher because of what she did to us.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can imagine like obviously your family being more proactive during the strikes and that, during the mining strikes and all that, because obviously Newcastle, South Durham, North Durham, is sort of. Sort of what you specialise in, really, isn't it?
I can imagine down Yard Durham there was a lot of people involved because obviously that's where all the pits were.
Yeah. So obviously, like I said, I think that's what gives like obviously bands like you sort of that creative sort of motivation. Obviously, because obviously people think the North, it's just a barren wasteland. Obviously, it's still got loads of folk bands and all that from the 1800s and all that in the pubs, but they're wrong because obviously. You have bands kicking and screaming all the way down to London, down in these venues, and they just explode, and people are like, oh, yeah, I quite like that. And obviously, that's probably what you hope to get out of being a band, like, obviously, you know, being in... Because obviously, I know that Fred Perry, they do gigs, and obviously, I think, sort of, like, they do, like, the Fred Perry subculture, so obviously, hopefully, sorry about that, just earphones jammed out. Obviously, with them... Like, obviously, if they listen to this, then who knows, maybe Muse could be the next band on the Fred Perry subculture. I mean, something like that. But obviously, I think there's just sort of a bit of a... there's something extra when you're a Northern band.
Yeah.
I think society as a whole is missing a band. Like, there's not been a huge artist come around since Kasabian and the Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, no.
And there's, you don't have anyone speaking for the working class anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you need someone to fill that void.
Well, I mean, Alex Turner, the recent Art Monkeys album, I think he sort of went from being like this sort of working class lad from Sheffield, sort of adolescent lad with like a very sort of, he's went from having a very sort of angry voice to sort of become more relaxed. If you listen, obviously, I can imagine that you have listened to the album, and obviously it's sort of very, that's a different style. You wouldn't think it's Art Monkeys, it's more suited to be a solo album than a band album, so.
Yeah. You can, when you listen to the Arctic Monkeys albums from like the first one to the last one, you can see a clear of evolution of the sound. Because when they worked on Humbug, they worked with Creedence of the Stone Age on that, and the sound just completely changed. Probably for the better, I think, personally.
Yeah. I really like Creedence of the Stone Age.
Yeah, well, they're headline of the league, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I know a subject I want to bring you on, obviously, about society and music. Leeds Festival. The headline wasn't really like, it wasn't really a good, decent amount of females that headlined that festival. Obviously, I don't know what you think about that. I don't know what I think about myself, because it obviously brings the argument of merit or ticking boxes. And I think there are some good female artists out there. You've got Wolf Alice. They deserve to be a headlining band. And
yeah.
Would you just like sort of say that Leeds and Reading have got it wrong this time around?
I think it depends on the motive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's suited to certain people. Like, I don't know. It's like people like what they want. Personally, I don't care if it's male or female.
Yeah,
that doesn't really matter because music is music.
Yeah.
But you're right about the fact that, you know, when you look at the headlines, there's no sort of female acts there, and I think that's a big problem. I mean, you can tell that, like, generally, obviously that's just a general term, and like lads are more in bands, but there's definitely females in bands, and I don't think they're really getting the opportunity to shine because Bieber Doobie is an amazing artist.
He's very good.
It's very like indie music. It's really well presented. It's like, I think people are too sort of fixed on the opinion or sort of societal view that you know, a band is like something that young lads do. Like, music is music, and it's something that everyone can do, no matter what your gender is.
I think the thing with the UK indie scene, this is something I always think about, obviously, with our indie scene, it is, so I think it's yet to evolve. I think we've got to be patient, it's yet to evolve into sort of, it's sort of being female dominated, because it is, like you said, it's that genetic view. It's like four white working class lads, always from a rundown area, and obviously, you know, they're sort of taking on the world. And I think one thing that sort of like made me, like, it's confusing for me, is that there's less artists I know in the UK indie scene that are like people of colour. And I think that's sort of like one thing that will be being the main thing in the indie scene, like obviously in the next few years or something. Obviously, I don't know what your take on that is, but I do think that there are some people of colour that are talented, but they just don't seem to sort of reach out from the sort of London circle.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And obviously, another thing I want to talk about, going to use this line a lot. Is your new single? You have a new single coming out, 2nd of October.
Yes, we do.
My birthday is 2 days after, so that is a nice early birthday present for me. So, cheers, lads. I'll just know. So, new single. What is it called?
It's called Bad Reality TV. It's quite a funky name, I suppose.
It is a funky name, Bad Reality TV. Yeah. Is it? Are you going to be following the same route as you did with Carbon Theme Park, or is it in completely?
Well, Carbon Theme Park was, I think. It's like the type of song that is it's quite a, you know, I want to say a generic. It is different, but it's like, it's just like, you know, it's like a catchy indie tune, which is something you see a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bad Reality TV is a lot more, you know, melancholy. It's about a more, like, down topic. But it's got more of the reverb-y guitar in it that we sort of want to follow. Yeah. And it's, you know, its lyrics are a lot more, you know, like complex. Carbon Theme Park's aim was to be more catchy and sort of like speaking
it. It is catchy because obviously you've got that catchy chorus, and I can imagine when gigs come back, I can imagine most of like the crowd gig goers that like come see you sort of forming pits, form mosh pits, and you know, bouncing onto that sort of chorus, because it is a catchy chorus.
I feel like Carbon Theme Park's lyrics were more blunt and to get a message across, but Bad Writer TVs have like a depth to them, so they're more.
It's when like you listen to Bad Reality TV, you've got to interpret it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not clear what it's about.
You've got to perceive them in the way you perceive them. You know, it's got its like literal sort of like, you can see it as like a lonely person, but it could be a metaphor for so many things that people, you know, interpret it in different ways. And I mean, for about a minute and a half of the song, it's a nice like steady beat, and then it explodes into this big chorus. So it's like very dynamic.
Well, I look forward to listening to it, and obviously I can imagine I'll be writing some review about it in my in my blog entries that I've been doing. Obviously, I did include yous in the blog that was in the Happy People music blog a few days ago. Ooh. What did you think of that blog entry? Obviously, I don't want to blow my own trumpet here, and obviously hear your
compliments. I thought it was mint.
Yeah, we're very really appreciative. Well,
thank you very much. It was really well written.
Like I said, I just want to have this Northern Exposure thing, because I do think that there are bands up here that not a lot of people know about, you know, not like you, Spilt Milk, the Royston Club, who are my next guests this week, and obviously they're from Wrexham, a sort of similar area. Well, I mean, it's in Wales, but sort of similar, like North Wales, Newcastle.
Only a few hundred miles away.
I thought you were staying up from up here, and I was like, Wrexham. It's got the same sort of background.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have the accent, don't they? No, they're not majority. Like, they don't have Mike Ashley and they don't have Alan Shearer, but they have sheep. No, that is.
They do have sheep.
No offence to the Royston Club about that, obviously.
Of course.
No offence. I can't wait to have you on. We're just messing about. Don't worry.
That's actually a big point, you know. Obviously, we're talking about how Newcastle isn't as, you know, it's not as well known in the music scene as places like Manchester. Yeah. But for, you know, a band like them to have come out of a place like Wrexham and be fairly big at this stage, it's impressive.
Well, it's like Catfish in the Bottom, they're from Clanlundo or somewhere like that.
Yeah, Llandudno or something like that.
Yeah. I thought You're sorry.
And they're just massive now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I thought they were. I thought they were from Manchester because they do have that sort of Manchester feel. Because you know, every Manchester indie kid is like, oh, Catfish in the Bottom and Catfish in the Bottom, and there's Teddy Pally with them. Definitely. But I think Catfish in the Bottom, and I think them headlining lead is sort of the right move. I've seen them at the O2. I'm not the O2. I've seen them at the Utility. I've seen them at the big weekend.
I was there.
It was quite a good gig. I thought Cocoon was the best moment of it, obviously. But I think
the last song.
Yeah, the sing along with it. The angle. But yeah, another thing I want to talk about as well is the bev review that you have on your Instagram.
Yes.
From every one of you. Is Adam there?
I am here, yep.
Right.
He's there.
Get in. From every one of you, I would like to hear your top five bevs. It can be alcoholic, it can be non-alcoholic, it can be a bit of both.
Right, go on.
Start with Shea.
Certainly not. The thing is, I always like freeze when people ask us what my top five whatevers are, because like it'll be like, you know, like if someone's going to the shop, like, oh, do you want to get your packet of sweets? Like you'll spend 10 minutes deciding. It's like this. I can't read this side. I'm gonna try and think about it now. So,
I did that. I did that in the shop anyway. Like I'll be going to the shop and
you just can't decide.
It's just you have so much choice.
Exactly, man. And, exactly.
You know, you sort of got to have this sort of like little competitive, like this little competition in your head. And then, like, you still have no decision after that either. So,
yeah. I mean, right, I'm going to kick it off at number five with the Humble Pepsi Max.
Humble Pepsi Max.
It's just a universal drink that you can enjoy. Yeah. Got no sugar in it, so it's good for you. But it's not good for you. But
it's better for you.
Number four, I'm going to go with Ribena, you know.
Oh, Ribena. It's a good summer drink.
I'm going to for Ribena.
Adam loves Ribena as well, but Ribena in the bottle. I'm not a huge fan of the dilutey. That's a very Geordie word.
Dilutey.
I just like if you can get it at the shop in the bottle, it just tastes really good. Yeah, oh my God, sure. Bev, man. Number three, I think I'm going to see a Vimto. Vimto.
There's a theme here, isn't there? Because you've got Ribena and Vimto. Then the next one will be Robinson's.
No. Vimto is really good. That's all I've got to say about Vimto. It's just like Ribena on the next level for some reason. Just
nice. Controversial. That's very controversial.
They've got the top two now. Number two, I think I'm going to say... I feel boring because I'm not putting any alcoholic beverages in. Leave that out.
Put some beverages in it.
Number two. I can't pick. Oh, man. Mango juice. I'll go with that. That's fun.
Honestly, you can't go wrong with mango juice.
It's very good.
Very good. Fruity. It's amazing. And then number one, I'm going to go with coffee. Coffee.
Yes.
Coffee and milk. It's amazing. Yeah. That's my top five.
What was the other three? Let's see yours.
That is.
Cheers.
This is difficult, this. Right. Number five, coffee. But I always have my coffee, two sugars, well, one and a half, and lots of milk. Number four, Pepsi Max Cherry. The cherry's much nicer.
You can't go wrong with a can of Pepsi Cherry Max and some cheesy chips. Nah. That is a...
Cheesy chips
are gorgeous.
Are you from Sunderland? Yes.
No, from Middlesbrough. We have the Palmo.
We have the Palmo.
Right, number three, I have to go dilutey lemon juice. I proper love that. It's a bit weird though.
Lemon juice is not really my taste. Not diluted one, probably sort of fizzy lemon juice.
Oh yeah. It's like the cordial. You get these bottles of it. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Number two, gotta love brown ale.
He knows the score. You know, you have that label, don't you?
Man about a dog or something.
Man about a dog.
Yeah, number one, I have to say my own tap water, because whenever I go to a mate's house and I drink their tap water, it's never as good as mine. So when I get home and drink my own tap water, I know I'm home. So that's always going to be the number one spot for me. And after a run, when you drink this massive bottle of tap water, it's just the best feeling. So
yeah, it is the best feeling. It
takes number one spot for us.
Number one tap water, number one.
How about you, Josh?
I'm really quite controversial here, kicking it off. Number five, Coke Zero. Not Pepsi Max, Coke Zero.
Coke Zero is right. The vanilla flavour of Coke Zero.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Any variant of Coke Zero. Any variant.
Oh, yeah.
Kicks Pepsi Max out the water by a mile.
Yeah.
Right, what are we doing with number four then? Caribbean Crush.
Ooh, Lucozade.
Oh, yes. The Lucozade.
Yeah, the Lucozade. Absolutely.
In the summer when you're like playing footy with your mates and that, and obviously your bottle of Caribbean Crush, it is the best thing ever. Yeah. It's the best thing on the planet, like that moment.
Yeah. You have it now, it's just nostalgia.
Yeah,
in a bottle,
yeah,
for sure. Honestly, for sure.
I always wonder what did they do to the other Lucozade flavors, like Melonade. If you like, remember that, the green Lucozade.
Oh, there was the Brazil one, wasn't there?
The Brazil one's still out. But
is it?
Yeah, it is. The Brazilian Morrison's do loads of them. So, Josh, get yourself down to Morrison's and get yourself more. Sell them out of all the Caribbean Crush.
Supply and demand. They'll have to get more.
Yeah.
What are we on now? Number three.
Number three.
What are we doing, number three? We're going to go for orange and lemonade.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Nice, refreshing.
Extremely refreshing. Yeah. Can't be.
You haven't hit the alcohol yet, Josh.
Oh, just wait. I've got two slots left yet.
Oh, here we are. He's Josh's beverages.
Oh, yes. Number two, I'll go for a Peroni. Just a nice classic beer.
Can't go wrong. No. Expensive mine, but...
Oh, yeah. But no, it's worth it.
On tap, but yeah,
it's worth it. Number one isn't going to be alcoholic, actually. Nice glass of apple juice.
Yeah, you can't go. To be fair, though, with apple juice, I've got I love it straight from the carton.
Definitely.
Apple juice is an elite drink. Adam, come on, your top five, boss.
Yeah, I'm excited for Adam's.
Okay. Come on. Number five is going to be Magnus.
Yes.
I'm not really much of a fan of cider, so that's controversial with me.
Adam loves
number
it.
Number four, Oasis.
Which flavour, though?
I don't know, they're both good. Both good.
Two main ones, isn't it?
I'm going to interpret Adam's top four spot as summer foods.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That is the best one.
The summer foods one's the best one.
Oh, I like the orange and lemon one.
That's a controversial, Josh.
No,
yeah, I know.
It's nice.
Are nice, yeah.
Definitely.
Number three, Lucozade Sport. Obviously.
You used to get that every lunchtime at school.
Yeah.
Oh, when people weren't it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Like, all over your face, man. It's horrible.
You're sticky for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. Get your hair in that. You just stick.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But it tastes good.
Yeah, it does. Number two is obviously Ribena, but yeah, because you can't beat Ribena. And number one is tea, because tea is just...
Get it.
Adam is a massive tea drinker.
Well, the main question is, Adam, what do you dunk in your thing, like biscuits?
I don't dunk biscuits in my tea, I dunk chocolate in.
Yeah, no, but each to their own, but that is nice, slightly digestive, having the course of the chocolate.
No, wait, do you mean like a bar of dairy milk?
You snap a bar off and you dip it in and then just eat it like just before it snaps off.
Are you okay?
Just melts a little.
No, you melt it a little bit. It melts like a little bit and it feels nice like when you eat
I'm
going to try that. After this, I'm going to go out and get myself a big bar of chocolate and dip it.
It should.
What about tea and toast? Because like, I know that people, like, I know people that butter the toast, they'll cut it. And they'll just dunk it in tea, and that to me, it just doesn't seem right.
Can't do it.
That's not right.
That's awful.
You'll end up with like loads of floaters in your tea from the crust.
Yeah. Oh, like the crust. Crumbs at the bottom.
Oh, it's made me sick.
But yeah.
And toast is meant to be salty.
Oh,
not.
Oh, God.
Well, the thing with a toast is the butter that I love about it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, when you've got a nice pack of layer pack and you just like sort of spread it all over the butter, you melt it, and that's probably the best type of toast there is.
Definitely.
I have unsalted butter, I'm not a fan of salt.
I wonder what our listeners would make of those top five lists like. I wonder what their top five lists are.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Those who are listening, if you make sure to send me your top five drinks that you like, and see how it competes with the lads. Probably,
yeah.
I mean, let's even get some controversial ones. Probably Dr. Pepper over Monk Zero. But yeah,
that's a good one, actually. Good
Dr. Pepper's quite nice.
I
never used to be a fan.
It's got a nice like sort of distinguished bite. Taste that it has. Yeah.
It's like more. Yeah, I love
it. But anyway, the Baltics have got a new single out 2nd of October. Make sure to give that a listen. It'll be on all streaming platforms. It'll be on Spotify.
Please pre-save it.
Yeah, pre-save it. Pre-save it. The Instagram, I'll make sure it was mentioned in the description of the audio version or the video version. Any last words for our listeners, boys?
Thank you for having us on, Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been great having you on.
It's been great coming back to podcasts.
Good. Well, hopefully, I'll probably see you on in a few months or something talking about the new single. Maybe by then you have blown up. You're no longer.
Fingers crossed.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, things with bands, obviously, some peak and they get really big. I'm thinking this is a band with the Sherlock's, you know, they peak.
Yeah, this is wood, touch wood.
Touch wood. They sell themselves out and obviously, they sort of, everyone forgets about them. But let's just hope that does not happen with you because obviously, it's right talent, right from the North East, and ready just to blow your eardrums off.
No, I like that. That was good.
That's a good ending. Yeah. I'll take that. So thank you very much.
Yeah. It's all right. Thanks for being on. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.